God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There was a statement that came out during President Trump's speech he just gave. And I don't believe it got enough attention, and it had to do with farmers. Now, it's interesting, if you actually look at the subculture of farmers within social media, there's a very, very vibrant community of farmers who use social media to communicate what they do. Now, I find this fascinating. I am not of the correct intelligence to be a farmer. I don't have the correct zeal for detail that it takes to be a great farmer. But I grew up around farms and on them to some degree, throwing alfalfa bales and hay bales, and I lived amongst farmers. When I grew up in the Spokane Valley, a lot of the land was still farmed actively. There were ranches and largely grain crops, although there were others. There were some pumpkin crops and some of the tubers, etc. So I'm not blind to the world, but we've become blind to it. The USDA has decided to approve, and this is under President Trump, has decided to approve a series of injections, shots, that they call vaccines, to be put into beef cattle. These shots that they're calling vaccines aren't, in fact, vaccines. They're non-neutralizing, meaning they don't stop transmission or infection. So what do? They empower pharma. They get a product into the bodies of beef cattle that we are going to, many cases, be fooled into eating and may have already been fooled into eating. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has stated that he does not want this to happen. In fact, the three heads of his three departments do not want this to happen. They're cautioning against it. Nicole Holscher broke this news. RFK Jr. and federal health agencies wisely opposed mass H5N1 animal vaccination over mutation concerns. All three of my health agencies, NIH, CDC, and FDA, the acting heads of those agencies have all recommended against the use of the bird flu vaccine. That comes from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Said that during a Fox News interview. So why would they do this? Well, they are obsessed with platform technologies. And this is another platform technology. And what this means is it causes the bodies of these animals to produce a poison that does not belong in their system so that their systems can build up partial antibody responses, but not immunity. And it's experimental, completely experimental. After all, this strain of bird flu was just invented, and I do think it was invented. Peter McCullough and others think there's strong evidence that this came out of the CDC's own lab and is released upon us. Now, this should not happen. The USDA should stop this. President Trump's director of the USDA should stop this. She was elected to be part of a movement to stop this stuff. There's a huge zeal for that. So be mindful that it's going to be time for you, if this happens, to start buying your beef from dissident farmers, dissident ranchers. They exist, but please don't count on the word organic to save you. I was just talking with a friend of mine named Wade Lightheart. Wade is one of the co-founders of a company called Bioptimizers. He's become a friend over the years. They've been in the health and supplement business for almost three decades. They're really good players in the industry, very, very responsible people. And Wade is a vegetarian. He had been, in fact, a world champion bodybuilder in the all-clean class, meaning they were tested for steroids and even things like a testosterone replacement. And he won world championships that level. And he explains that organic foods, the FDA allows about 100 chemicals in organic foods. He uses a water device that creates a very high pH balance water. I think it's an 11. A friend of mine uses this. And he purchased some so-called organic vegetables. And he doused them in that water, soaked them in that water, and sat back and watched as the water filled up with oils. Because of the pH balance of that water, it can actually dissolve oils. And it was organic. God gave us a world to steward. He gave us the common blessings of food and water. He gave us the ability to grow it. In fact, he gave us, I think, the responsibility to do that. In the Garden of Eden, we tended the garden. Wouldn't that mean also tending the plants and therefore planting new plants? That's what we've been given. And look what we've done with it. President Trump addressed a trade policy that's tariff-based, but it can have an effect on American farms, but I hope it's the right type of American farms.
A new trade policy will also be great for the American farmer. I love the farmer. Who will now be selling into our home market, the USA, because nobody is going to be able to compete with you. Because those goods that come in from other countries and companies, they're really in a bad position in so many different ways. They're uninspected. They may be very dirty and disgusting, and they come in and they pour in, and they hurt our American farmers. The tariffs will go on agricultural product coming into America, and our farmers starting on April 2nd, it may be a little bit of an adjustment period. We had that before when I made the deal with China, $50 billion of purchases, and I said, just bear with me, and they did. They did probably have to bear with me again, and this will be even better. That was great. The problem with it was that Biden didn't enforce it. He didn't enforce it. $50 billion of purchases, and we were doing great, but Biden did not enforce it, and it hurt our farmers. But our farmers are going to have a field day right now. So to our farmers, have a lot of fun. I love you, too.
We better all love our farmers. No farms, no food. But I hope this goes to the correct sort of farmer. I'm not one for a lot of government diktats, and people are allowed to amass farmland, I guess. But what if it's our enemies? Why are we allowing the Chinese Communist Party to own American farmland? Why is that a good idea? Because with the farmland comes the water rights. Why is it a good idea to have one of our top geopolitical foes owning water rights here? I fail to see the wisdom in that. But then again, God uses the simple things to shame the wise and the poor things to shame the strong. Now, on the topic of food and national security, how is this not seen? The fact that the Chinese Communist Party-backed companies can purchase farmland and water rights means they can use that land for whatever they choose. And very often, it's not food. Very often these days, it's carbon dioxide pipelines to hoard that horrible gas that we're told is killing all the children. They're hoarding it to make fake meat. You think I'm kidding? There's a patented process for taking this, what I just exhaled, carbon dioxide, and turning it into a protein to insert into a manufacturing process. And to make it into a protein that will be nudged into eating. Gross and worse. We have bodies designed to pick fruit off of trees, vegetables out of the ground, and to eat meat from slaughtered animals, hopefully done slaughtered in a humane way. That's how our bodies are designed. To consume water to go with that. Every step we take away from that is a step we take away from God and how he designed us. He is the owner. Therefore, he gets to write the owner's manual. And we should pay attention to the owner's manual. The more a thing looks like its original form, the more likely you are to be successful eating it or to get successful outcomes from your body, for your body. The body is the temple. Now, we're defiled by what comes out of the body, our words, etc., and what we do with our body. We are to treat it as a storage place for the Holy Spirit, the temple. But wouldn't God want us to have healthy temples? I mean, it's where he stores the Holy Spirit. Moreover, wouldn't he want us to honor the way he set up the world with the availability of these things? I'm not a big one for government diktats, but how about incentives? Let me ask you, does it make sense to have vegetables shipped in from overseas? Does anyone think that makes sense? Does it make sense to have a product you can grow in your own state instead shipped across 10 or 15 states? Does anyone think that makes sense? Does it make sense that it is insanely difficult for small family farms to operate at enough scale that they can compete with big fake farms? And when I say fake, here's what I mean. I mean food that's not grown for nutritional content. It's grown to get to the marketplace. Take, for example, a responsible cattle rancher. A responsible cattle rancher may take maybe 200% more time to get beef cattle to market than an irresponsible cattle ranch, simply shoving hormones, growth hormones into the animals and antibiotics, etc., that we all consume. So how about this incentive? How about the incentive is for small family farms, tax incentives, such as this? Why are they paying property tax? Now, that's a state issue, but if I were a state governor, one of the first things I'd look at is family farms handed down generation to generation. Why are they paying property tax? Now, case to be clear, I think property taxes themselves are immoral. I think once you purchase a thing, you own it, you shouldn't have to pay a tax for the privilege of continuing to own something, but that's probably going to change. So what about a waiver just for family farms? A waiver from any form of inheritance tax if they're handed down family to family. And how about this? Assistance getting to market, such as how about a waiver of gas taxes? Simply to get the produce from a local farm to a local store. Or what about this? An encouragement for people who are in family farms to join family farm collectives. And maybe they're the ones who get the discounts. Maybe they're the ones who get the tax waivers or gas tax waivers. Or maybe they can write off their gas taxes on their federal taxes. That would be a way to do it. We should honor the way God set up the world. We should honor it with our own choices. If you can recognize a thing as a food, something you would pick off of a tree, you're going to have a very difficult time getting fat eating it. If you can recognize a piece of meat that was just in that field and has been humanely slaughtered and is now sitting before you unmolested by chemicals and so-called vaccines, you're going to do a far better job of staying healthy. Because really, if you look at what's happened to the American body, that is the common temple of the body, the Christian body, look around your church one day and see how many people have fallen for the great American food swindle, things that aren't really food. And please don't do this judgmentally. I used to weigh 400 pounds. I know what it's like to be addicted to chasing insulin highs. I know what it's like to stop at one fast food restaurant and eat about 1,000 or 1,500 calories and go to the next one in 10 minutes and eat another 1,500 and then go home still hungry because you're chasing an insulin high. But honestly, attempt to look at this through God's eyes. Now, that's dangerous. We can't think like God. We can consult his word. We can pray. We can spend time around more mature Christians. But look at us through God's eyes. I don't know anybody who, when their children become deeply unhealthy, and it might be obesity, it might be addiction to alcohol or cigarettes, I don't know any parent who celebrates that. God's the perfect parent. Moreover, God has provided us the common blessings we need to not fall into that. I would ask the next time you enter church to look at the body, not in a whitewashed tomb sense, but in a sense of where is the Holy Spirit stored? Is your church healthy? Are you? I've got my own work to do on that, on the mental and spiritual health front. But let's keep the temple clean. We'll come back under Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Remember that you can get any of our episodes at AFR.net, AFR Stream. And when you are a monthly supporter, you get to have that access. And it's not only the full episodes, but if you hear, for instance, a specific segment of the program, Randy does a great job of breaking those segments out. So if you wanted to hear something again or share just a specific piece with a friend or family member, you can do that. It's at AFR.net. Just go check out AFR Stream and you get that access to that. Appreciate that. By the way, we're headed up to 1 million downloads a month. That's big. That's a really big number. As someone who makes a fair bit of money out of podcasting and spends a lot of time on it, I'm here to tell you, those are really good numbers. Praise God. And thank you to all my colleagues who, of course, have driven most of that. I'm still the new cat here and very, very thankful to be here. This is a segment that I've internally called Be In the World and Not Of It. And I'm starting, we may even have one of the voice things done like we do with the Tower Babbling coming up next segment just to kind of focus the mind. And in this segment, we really try to just step back from the news of the world and be just that, in the world and not of it. And often I find myself looking on some of the heretical churches that unfortunately exist and continue to be pushed. Your tax dollars have been responsible for pushing some of this. You were forced to do that through the utter depravity and the utter chaos of USAID. So when we talk about these things, we are also, though, reflecting it into the world, to bring it back into the world. There's a piece that the publication called Not the Bee published, and it's a well-written piece. But they have a view that politics are not driving people away from church, and I don't hold with that. I understand what they're saying, and we'll get to that in a second here, but I think they got this wrong, unfortunately, and it's actually written by a guy who was formerly a colleague in talk radio. But let me start here with an example of politics. Do you remember the Episcopal bishop who, after President Trump was elected, she took that occasion to castigate him for his immigration policies and policies about gender? Well, lo and behold, it turns out, shockingly, that that woman who was apparently selected by Democrats is a hardcore leftist. It turns out that she received USAID money to help illegal immigrants be hidden into the fabric of our society. It turns out that she believes that President Trump should be impeached, and she's believed that for a long time and has even said that worse things should happen to President Trump. Well, this is something that the left does. They reward behavior like this financially. Financially. There was just a woman who disrupted a Republican town hall in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and her and her colleagues went in there with the sole purpose of disrupting it. When she was asked to leave, she refused to leave. She was told she was trespassing. She chose to stay. And when security came over to remove her, she screamed at the top of the lungs, her lungs, that they were hurting her. They took her out. She wasn't apparently physically harmed. Do you know what happened? She's about $500,000 richer because she put up a GoFundMe asking for justice. So leftists around the country gave her $500,000 because they were under the belief she was removed from a government meeting because she was speaking out. It wasn't a government meeting. It was a meeting of the Republican Party or one of the Republican organizations up here, private club. In a public place. So this Episcopal bishop is also being rewarded. She says with notes of thanks, but listen very closely to something else she says she's getting.
Friends, it's Bishop Marianne here, and I've stepped out of social media for a time, but I wanted to step back in to say thank you. I cannot tell you how much it has meant to me to receive the letters and phone calls and notes and gifts.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's any cash money in those gifts.
And expressions of gratitude, support, and encouragement. And I am persuaded that there is a spirit of love and goodness in this land that flows through all of us, and that now is a time for us to stand together to take courage from one another and learn together.
To take courage from one another, to learn together, but to take courage from, wait, one another? Doesn't our strength come from God? Isn't the armor of God how we have courage? Isn't it that we stand on the side of victory? Isn't it that he who is within us is greater than those without us who are attacking us? They always give themselves away. In that case, she gives away the game, but she's being rewarded. This contentious, or this contention in the Not the Bee publication, and it's a great publication. This was so spot on. We've got the Babylon Bee that satires reality, and we have Not the Bee that presents reality that should be satire. This is an opinion piece by a guy named Peter Heck, used to be a talk radio host. He writes, "The church has become too political, and that's why people are leaving. The reason people are leaving the church is because they're learning it's just about creating a voting bloc for the Republican Party. If you want to know why people are leaving the church in America, it comes down to two words, Donald Trump." Then he writes, "Those three statements appeared in the comment section on a recent article I read regarding Christian engagement in the political arena here in America. To be sure, the position collectively espoused by those three individuals isn't anything new. In fact, it's been one of the most enduring refrains I've encountered consistently in the two decades I've spent writing and speaking about Christianity and culture. The conclusions, in my estimation, stem from this faulty syllogism. Churches in America have become bastions of right-wing politics. Right-wing politics is anathema to the gospel of Jesus. People are rejecting churches in America because they love the gospel of Jesus. These are two fundamental errors that, when exposed, quickly dismantle the reasoning. First is the distinction between people leaving the church with a capital C of Jesus and people breaking fellowship with a particular church, small c, or congregation. Far from shrinking, the global and eternal church of Jesus is currently surging and will be ultimately triumphant. No one who is a true believer puts his hands to the plow, turns back for any reason, no less their frustration or disagreement with a fellow servant's political views. What I mean is, if you recognize Jesus as your only hope of salvation, no ignorant posturing by your brother or sister will drive you from Christ's grip because he is your savior, not them." And in all caps, "No one will abandon his own hope of heaven over a disagreement on tax policy." It's not tax policy. It's not. It's the hard things. And I disagree with this gentleman's assertion for the following reason. I know what the left does because God has equipped me. When I first left morning radio and announced that I was leaving because of speech codes and because I wanted to put God at the center, I panicked for a bit. I remember exactly where I was. I was on the way to the gym. I was right by the speedway. I was about 5 minutes, not even that, 3 minutes from the freeway. I had a panic attack. I don't know how to do a Christ-centered podcast. I don't know how to do anything but a radio show as a broadcaster. And then the Lord spoke to me. He effectively said, "Hey, dummy." In fact, he said, "Hey, son, I equipped you. I sent you to Washington, D.C. to show you intersectional politics. Satan's building an intersectional political base. I equipped you for this. I sent you to Hollywood to see how they tell stories and to learn that culture. I let you work in tech so you could understand the tools of micro-targeting and digital persuasion. You get this." Since then, I've been calm, and God has provided. So if I look at this piece, and I step back and look at what the left has done, they understand people are leaving, and that they can peel people away. Now, I respect that entire debate about once saved, always saved. I respect it. I still contend that we are warned so many times in Scripture to not turn away, that we're warned against false teachers. And these are believers being warned against false teachers, against turning away, against falling away. Believers are told to remain sober of mind, for our enemy Satan is seeking, prowling about, looking to devour us and destroy us. So I contend that we can choose to sacrifice the gift of salvation for shinier things. And that's what I think the sexual left knows. What they're doing are creating purely heretical churches, such as this. This is a guy named Reverend Mark Byrd, and he is talking to a congregation of people who believe they follow Jesus Christ.
Let me just say about this space, again, it's a safe space, no matter who you are, how you self-identify, or how you self-express. I like to say there's no right or wrong way to be trans. There's no right or wrong way to self-express. And so no matter who you've come from or if you grew up in a faith community or not, it doesn't make any difference to us. You are welcome here this evening.
And you would be welcome in any church, any Christian church. We're all broken. In the pews or the aisles of any church are people who have committed fornication or adultery. Some of them are still doing it. There are boyfriends and girlfriends sitting in the audience who live together and have sexual relations, knowing it's against the Bible. And God is going through a process of sanctifying them. And hopefully, they'll take to the cross their decision to live apart from God. That's not unique. What is unique is that this so-called reverend is standing up with no cross. You know what's directly behind him? A butterfly. A sign of the trans cult, and then, of course, the pride flags.
In the behind the sanctuary, and for those coming in, there is extra seating out in the fellowship area. There are restrooms. It's been the longstanding policy of New Life Metropolitan Community Church that you are free to use whatever restroom with whatever gender you self-identify.
And, of course, that stands again against the Word of God, made in His image, male and female. We're cautioned time and again to be modest in how we dress. And modesty includes not showing your naked body to members of the opposite sex and being very selective about where you show your body to members of the same sex.
The restrooms are, however, marked all gender tonight, so they're in either corner in the fellowship area. There are also quiet rooms there. If for whatever reason you need to just step away, and we know that coming together for this event in particular has a lot of emotions packed for a lot of us. And so don't hesitate. We have counselors that are there, Angela Callahan and Jessica Gurley. If they are raising their hands right here in the center, so they're more than willing to step in and talk with you during that time.
Do you see how he attempts to take a pastoral tone as if he's shepherding? Do you see the freak show, House of Mirrors, carnival aspects here? Remember those places that you go in the carnivals, the House of Mirrors, where you get lost inside? It has all the veneer of a church that it's not prayer. There's people not there to pray with you. Those aren't the elders to pray. There's counselors. Because you might hear something disturbing, so certainly you can't pray into that. The safeness is in the illusion, the lack of belief. There are people who've been peeled off from actual Christian churches and are going there. And here's where the failure of the evangelicals come in. Not most of them, praise God. I am an evangelical Christian. Not most of the churches. But there are churches in America who've made a decision to not preach the hard things. And like nature abhors a vacuum, Satan loves a vacuum. The conversation in these churches go this way. Let's not teach against biblical marriage. Let's not teach in favor of fornication and adultery. Let's not teach against God's reality of there being two sexes. Let's stay away from that stuff because it's divisive. So let's stay with happy Jesus, C.S. Lewis said, soft soap Jesus, who is simply walking on water and handing out miracles, smiling all the way. A spiritual Santa Claus, as it were, handing out the gifts of miracles. Let's not talk about Jesus returning as judge, because that's hard. Nature abhors a vacuum. Satan loves a vacuum. He'll gladly step in to that vacuum space, and he'll offer, through your tax dollars often, fake Christian churches. When evangelical pastors, or for that matter, Methodist or Baptist pastors, refuse to speak about what are considered the hard topics, human sexuality is hard because it is the easiest way often for Satan to reach into us and to distract us, to distort things, to drive us into depression. Well, Satan will reach in and he'll provide these alternatives, and people are deceived. We Christians are warned in Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person will be taken because of their sin, or that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Pastors are to steward their flocks and to protect their flocks. That includes speaking about the hard things, the topics of fornication and adultery and same-sex marriage, so-called. It's a cruelty to same-sex attracted people to do otherwise. It's a cruelty to opposite-sex people to remain silent on the reality of opposite-sex adultery and fornication. Because when people get addicted to these behaviors, and it is finally spoken about in church, the world's already provided them an alternative, a place where those things are celebrated. And you can even go in and get the feeling that you're worshiping Jesus, even though you're worshiping Satan. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note here in just a moment. You remember Karen Bass? She is the unbelievably corrupt mayor of Los Angeles, a woman who is a hardcore leftist who celebrates the policies of Fidel Castro, of Che Guevara. She is committed to this day to the authoritarian leftist cause. She's the woman who, though everybody knew it was a bad fire time in Los Angeles, where the corrupt dictator of California, Gavin Newsom, has made it very difficult for them to have water, where the corrupt city officials are far too busy creating multicolored rainbow flag intersections than to actually work on the infrastructure of Los Angeles. They lose 40 to 50% of their water every year through leaking pipes because they will not work on that infrastructure. They did not have fire trucks pre-positioned and ready to go before the fire. They didn't have airline or airplane or helicopter assets rented, ready to go, since they don't have enough on their own. The main reservoir, of course, was not full at all. That was a decision they made to allow it to continue to get decrepit to the point where it was unusable and therefore unable to provide downward water pressure to drive fire hydrants with enough pressure so that firefighters could fight fire. Other than that, they did fine. Karen Bass said the most insane thing recently. She said she's launched an investigation into why she was allowed to go on vacation prior to the time of the fires. Remember, she was on vacation? She's launched an investigation as to why she was allowed to do that. She also fired the Los Angeles Fire Department chief, Christine Crowley. And you remember hearing from female fire department executives that if you're a man trapped in a house in the fire, that's your fault because a woman can't lift you. That's your problem. Remember that? That she had bigger problems than me being a woman. So many of these people were selected because they were women, or in many cases, same-sex attracted women, nothing to do with qualifications for the job. Well, this Los Angeles Fire Department chief, Christine Crowley, is not going quietly into that good night. She had some things to say about Karen Bass. Karen Bass is now pretending she didn't know the fires were coming.
It is also a false allegation that we failed to notify the mayor's office about the upcoming weather event. I stand by our previous statements about this. The LAFD engaged in all of its standard communications, including emailing two separate media advisories, conducting multiple live and recorded media interviews about the predicted extreme weather and fire danger, and also notifying city officials about the upcoming weather events. The Emergency Management Department also plays a key role in notifying the mayor's office and city officials. And the mayor's office itself also sent out multiple media messages prior to the fire's warnings.
This is part of her appeal process for being fired. I hope Karen Bass is recalled. Sadly, I hope the fire chief remains fired. And they get someone who is actually able to fight fires and lead teams. On this program, we actually thank the Lord for placing these supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in...
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. That's almost always the reality, but sometimes we do four. Stephen Colbert, a man who, as I understand it, doesn't believe in God, talked with Mayor Pete, a man who denies God's word because he prefers his own. And they sat down to have a discussion about the soul of our nation.
The Trump administration has curtailed protections and human rights, especially for the LGBTQ community. He bragged about it tonight.
Yep.
What does that say about where our country is headed morally? Where is the soul of our nation headed?
Look, our nation has always been at its best when it widens the circle of belonging and equality to take care of more people and not less.
Of course, what President Trump did was sign an executive order threatening to take federal monies away from schools, colleges and schools that allow male athletes to steal female trophies and scholarships and to all too often injure female athletes. He did nothing to anyone's civil rights other than uphold them. Women have a right to be women because there's no in between. Yes, I know about intersex people. I know it's a sad condition. It affects 1/1000th of society. I don't know how to deal with that. That's a truly Jobian decision between those people and God, but has nothing to do with the lie of transgenderism. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. MSNBC remains very, very agitated that boys will no longer be able to beat girls' faces in boxing matches or break their legs during rugby.
Susan, why are we even still talking about this?
Well, Steph, that's a powerful fact check. And, you know, to be honest, I think we know why we're talking about it. It's become a really successful political talking point in the culture war for Republicans. And it's very painful to see many, you know, vulnerable people in our society targeted like this. And
men who are beating women up in boxing matches and breaking their noses aren't vulnerable. Americans are tired of the rampant lie. Speaking of lies, the last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, a Democrat outside Trump's rally said these fateful words.
You don't care about this country, and that is unacceptable if you claim to be the president of the United States. So we are here. We are not going anywhere. We are going to continue to fight back, and we are going to continue to speak lies to his truth.
We're going to continue to speak lies to his truth, said the state representative. Called upon to do a special response to President Trump. Oh, she's not well known at all, but she's a woman of color and therefore virtuous and right about all things. And she's willing to lie about the nature of womanhood itself. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
Started this tradition years ago, just during my radio show, I forgot to plan for a segment. These segments are never planned. Always hoping the Holy Spirit will speak through me. On a personal note right now, when was the last time you felt utterly baffled at your own society? When's the last time you felt really insufficient to try to communicate something so utterly simple? I'm in the job of communicating. I get paid to do this. I get paid at AFR. I've got another national radio presence. I have a podcast that is very successful. Praise God. So I get paid to talk about these things. Society. I made a very simple statement about Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is a, well, I guess you might be kind and say recovering pimp. He bragged about being a pimp. He apparently bragged about beating women to get them to perform sexual acts on camera for him. He's a pimp. Recovered, he says. He bragged about using the Loverboy method to con women into becoming on-camera prostitutes. He said his businesses were scams. He was charged in Romania with sex trafficking, and then that case was done away with. His defenders say they couldn't find the evidence. I would consider his confessions to be evidence. Andrew Tate has also decided to attach himself to conservatism. Perhaps he's conservative. One can be conservative and be morally destitute, and Andrew Tate is morally destitute. He still has never apologized for what he did to women and probably girls. He's not repented. He chose a different faith, a faith that doesn't repent. He chose Islam. What I said is that Andrew Tate doesn't belong anywhere near the mechanisms of power. And yet, apparently, he's very good friends with Donald Trump Jr. And Donald Trump Jr. is his grown man. He can choose his own friends. But there's a huge question mark as to did Andrew Tate get his travel ban lifted in America because of President Trump. I tried to communicate this in a very simple sense. Andrew Tate doesn't belong in our country being respected by conservative media. He doesn't belong near the mechanisms of power. I utterly failed. This is a note from YouTube. Now, YouTube is its own place, and I recognize that it's not reality. And this man wrote back to me to, first of all, kind of knock the show, but secondly, to say this. Here's his response. This is an even simpler issue. Andrew Tate's an overconfident, cocky loudmouth using irony, hyperbole, and dark brands of humor to make his points and provoke the wider public to think for themselves. Oh, so he's a gentleman philosopher using these advanced techniques. His goal is independence of mind of people. Two, his court case in Romania basically went down the toilet after years of trying to find a single credible victim or piece of evidence, which at least for now equals innocent. No, it doesn't. It equals not guilty. Oh, and by the way, I guess we're not going to talk about payoffs, etc., to keep people from testifying. All of his kids and their mothers live in luxury, abundance, and safety. While by no means I happen to praise his family model or lifestyle choices. Oh, they've been paid off, but don't have a dad? I failed. I utterly failed. Maybe God can help me explain this better. Then the gentleman writes this. The Muslim thing has been calmly explained over and over. Christianity projects too much weakness by allowing itself to be constantly mocked and offended worldwide. Then he has to get a knock in against my YouTube channel. Never thought I'd be defending Tate under a video with under 50 views at the time of writing, or ever for that matter. Just calling out garbage when I see it. You've got every right to despise the guy, but at least stick to the facts and don't make more than it is. I utterly failed. So maybe God can help me. Maybe God might say this. I use the weak to shame the strong. I use the simple to shame the wise. Andrew Tate took some of the weakest people he could find, and he defiled them because he wanted to. And he bragged about it. And you're defending that as political hyperbole? I don't care how few views that video got. I have videos with 150, 250, 400, 500,000 views. This one didn't win. But you watched it and came back with the conclusion that it makes sense for Andrew Tate to turn away from Christianity because it allows itself to be mocked? No, it doesn't. Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, will not be mocked. You're operating in a singular timeline. And maybe this is where I failed you. You're operating in the now. Andrew Tate's not a gentleman philosopher. He's a strong man who abused weaker people. He's a clever speaker. He's charismatic, physically strong, and he operates in a finite timeline. You're going to learn, and this is probably where I failed you as an utter failure in this actual instance, to remind you that you are not a finite being. You're eternal. So when we all sit before the throne of judgment, because every single one of us will do that, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, I wonder, are you going to look up at holiness itself and think, wow, Andrew Tate was right? You allow yourself to be mocked. You're weak. I don't think so. I think you're going to find out that when God says a thing, God means it. He will not be mocked. I probably failed you by not pointing out that the fact that Andrew Tate has decided to identify as a Muslim maps very, very nicely back to everything you just said about him. He's a liar, a deceiver, a guy self-interested. More importantly, though, he said this. He said, I have enough darkness to bring the light. Are you familiar with the phrase, the angel of light? That's something Satan is called. False light. If it's not a hint when Andrew Tate says, I have enough darkness to bring the light, well, then I have to apologize to you. I simply failed you. When was the last time you felt really convicted by the Holy Spirit of having failed an important job? That one's mine until tomorrow, when I'll probably fail again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we walk His path, the path of Jesus, to make disciples of all nations. Until the Lord decides we can speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.